Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, from verse 14. It's round about page 1002 in the red or blue church Bibles, plus or minus a couple of pages. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in a boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently, and it came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. So we're going to think with everybody this morning about how Jesus was what? Can anyone read what it says on the screen? Jesus was what? An amazing teacher. Thank you, Nigel. Jesus was an amazing teacher. Now, when your teacher's at school, if you can remember being at school, some of you, or if you are at school, some of you, when your teacher's at school finish a lesson, what do you normally say afterwards with your friends? What do you normally say? That was... anyone brave enough to say? I know what I normally used to say. Boring. That was boring. Yeah, that's what I used to say often after... certainly when I was at school. I got a little bit better when I was older, but that was what I was like at school. Really boring. You don't normally say afterwards, "That was awesome." Just maybe now and then. Has anyone been in an awesome lesson? Yes, Simon? One of yours, is that? Okay. So I was a bit slow then. I thought there was some little story you were going to tell us about some science experiment or something that you observed. And normally, it's not the sort of thing where you say, "I'm going to go home and tell all my family and all my friends and everyone I meet for the rest of my life about this lesson that I've just been in." Normally, at the very best, you say, "That was all right," or you say, "That was really boring." If there had been the internet when Jesus was around, the teaching of Jesus would have been what we call gone viral. Do you know what it means when we say it's gone viral? It means it's gone all over the internet. Loads and loads of people are looking at it on the internet. News about him, even without the internet, spread all around the area of Capernaum. That's what we just read in Mark's Gospel, that the news about Jesus went all over the place. He became really famous. Jesus was an amazing teacher. I tried to be a teacher for a little while. I tried to teach maths to people who mended cars. It was of no interest or use to them, I don't think. I used to, that's what you probably do in your lessons. That's what they did in my lesson. I tried to teach some things like Pythagoras' theorem. Any adult want to tell me what Pythagoras' theorem is, or anyone who's in secondary school? Pardon? Okay, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, which, what does a refer to? What is it called? It's called the long one, yeah? What's it called? The hypotenuse. Yes, so you get the famous triangle that's got three and a right angle and four, and do you know what the long one is? Guess. Just think what the next number that comes into your head when you go 3, 4, 5. Yes, and it is 5. Because, amazingly, 5 squared equals 4 squared plus 3 squared. And I used to get so enthusiastic about this to my car mechanics, and they couldn't care less. really. They'd say, are you going to tell us another amazing fact? Sort of sarcastically. You know something else that's really interesting? I think that algebra comes from an Arabic word, which is a variant of algebra from the book. It was a book that was written by a Persian in Baghdad around 825 years before Jesus was around. After Jesus was around, so 825 AD. Nearly got that all wrong, because he was a Muslim. And interestingly, Muslims did lots of maths, but it was the West who started to use all those things. Am I boring you? I think I might be. That's the trouble. Because I'm not really a very good teacher. Because I get all enthusiastic about it, but it may not be the sort of things that you might be enthusiastic about, and it may not be really connected. Do you know about algebra? No. Some of you know about algebra. Did you know it came from an Arabic word? No? So you've learned something this morning. But Jesus, on all subjects, was an amazing teacher, an interesting teacher, someone that you really wanted to listen to. You see, when you listen to Jesus, it was never boring. Sometimes people got confused. Sometimes people got angry when they listened to him. Sometimes people did not understand it, but always he was interesting to listen to. He was an amazing, awesome teacher. That's what that word amazing means. It means awesome, something that kind of makes you think, wow, he was a wow teacher. That's what it says here in Mark's Gospel and lots of other places about the teaching of Jesus. And let's think for a few minutes then about why the teaching of Jesus was so amazing. Well, the first thing is that he really knew what he was talking about. Jesus was an amazing teacher because he knew right what he was talking about. It says in what we read that he speaks with authority. In other words, when he started speaking, you immediately knew that he knew what he was talking about, that he was an expert on the subject. He wasn't faking it. He wasn't guessing it. He wasn't making it up. Now, just imagine you've got a teacher, perhaps someone at university, who's your lecturer. And I've got somebody here that I want to introduce you to. Anyone want to tell me what his name is? Professor what? What do the children want to say out? Go on, Eleanor. Professor No Idea. Yes. Well, there he is. And Professor No Idea, let's just imagine that he's giving us a science lecture about the moon. And he says, now I want to tell you about the moon. And I've got a friend who's told me about the moon. And he's told me that the moon is made of cheese. That's what my friend told me. And I think another friend said it as well. And I believe them. And my name is Professor No Idea. And my friend also told me that the moon's about 100 miles away. It's about as far away as Watford is from here. That's what my friend told me. And I believe them. It's actually made of Edam cheese. You'll see from the diagram here. Does he know what he's talking about? I don't think he does. I think he's got no idea what he's talking about. He's just taking some things that somebody else has told him and just telling you, but he doesn't really know for himself whether they're true or not. There's someone else who could tell you about the moon. And I hope this works. This is the next slide. Good guess, Nigel.
And on the surface. Okay, you're right. Halo's on the surface, and it's been a long way. We're here.
This is the gentleman who in 1972 landed on the moon, and he landed in a particular valley, which is bigger than the Grand Canyon, and picked up some rocks and so on from there. And he's telling you there about Google Moon, which is a project where Google have got this thing where you can look on the internet and look at various bits of the moon. But he's a guy who's really been there. He's really been there to the moon. And he brought back some rocks, and he knows what he's talking about. And you immediately know that he knows what he's talking about. And you can see the film of him going there, and he can describe it to you, and he can say, I stood there. And there's, on the bit of the video we didn't see, this amazing view where he looks out and he can see the earth from the moon, which looks quite spectacular. So he's really been there. He knows what he's talking about. You know, when Jesus was around, some teachers would say, well, Rabbi Benjamin, he says this, and Rabbi Eli, he says this, and Rabbi Nahum, he says this. I don't really know, but I think maybe this. That's the kind of teachers that they were. But Jesus doesn't say, so-and-so says this, so-and-so says this. I don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus speaks, and he says, I tell you this, and I know what I'm talking about, and I know it's the truth. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Often he read bits of the Bible that they had then, which was the Old Testament, and he'd read a bit of the Old Testament out, and he would explain it. And you'd immediately know that he knew what he was talking about. Often, the bits of the Bible that he was reading about were talking about him, the fact that he was going to come to this earth and what he was going to do. But whatever he spoke about, he knew what he was talking about. Jesus knows what he's talking about when it comes to everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know about. That's not that he tells us about absolutely everything in life, but he knows everything, and he tells us the really important things. He tells us about our lives. He tells us about himself. He tells us how to connect our lives to himself and to God. Jesus knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about when he tells us how to live. When people at your school or your workplace or your sports people that you're playing with, when they kind of say in some way or other, well, the Bible's a bit like that kind of nutty professor who really hasn't got any idea, who've got some kind of wacky view about the beginning of this earth or about the future, you can say quietly and humbly, Jesus really does know what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to the past. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to now and how I relate to God and can be friends with God. And he knows what he's talking about when it comes to the future. Actually, all the people ignoring Jesus are like the crazy professor who's got no idea. Jesus does know what he's talking about. So that's the question. Who's going to be your teacher? Jesus knows what he's talking about. When he's talking about God, when he's talking about us. I think I want to go to the next one. There we go. Second thing is that Jesus was a great teacher to listen to. He was always exciting to listen to. Is anybody good at telling jokes? Any adults good at telling jokes? Any adults got a good joke? Emily, are you apparently good at telling jokes? Do you want to tell us a joke? Okay. Do you want to tell us a joke?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Why did the pig cross the road?
Because it wanted to go to the mudder side. Cool. Do you have a joke? Go on then. Is that slightly wrong at the end? It's a cool joke, though. Do you want... Okay. If you tell me that one later, then I'll make sure I say it out loud at some point. Cool. Right. I had one really bad joke. I'm a really bad joke teller. I can be mildly funny when I'm making a mistake. But actually, pre-planned jokes I'm really rubbish at. But I've got one, which is a knock-knock joke. Knock-knock. Cash. Now I prefer peanuts. None of the children got it on the front row, the main people it was aimed for, but there we are. I don't think Jesus told knock-knock jokes. Not sure if Jesus told jokes exactly in the way that we would think about jokes at all. But he did tell incredible and interesting stories. He told stories that made people laugh, and he told stories that made people think. at the same time as they were laughing or thinking this is crazy, or even being frustrated by what he was saying and saying, that's a stupid story. At that very time, he's teaching them something. He's making them think. You'll know this story. Jesus told a great story, funny, serious, working on all kinds of levels, about the wise man. And he says, there was once a wise man who built his house. Where did he build his house? On the rock. That was what the wise man did. There's a house that's on a rocky place. And when a storm came, loads of rain, loads of wind, that house stood there. Like that one looks like it would stand there for a long time. It stood firm. But there was a foolish man, not a wise man, who builds his house on a sandy place, even more sandy than this, a place that had loads of sand. What happens to sand when you tread on it normally? Kind of sinks, doesn't it? It gives way. Even if it doesn't give way completely, it sort of moves very easily if you just put your feet in it. It's very easy to move around. It's not like rock. So Jesus said there was a really stupid man, and he built his house on sandy place. And as soon as the storm came, loads of rain, loads of wind, then that house, like this house, fell completely flat. And while you're all kind of laughing about this stupid man, everybody, whether you're a child or an adult, can understand the punchline of it, which is, you need to build your lives on my words. Anyone who listens to me and ignores it is like the foolish man. That's what Jesus says. Anyone who listens to me and takes it in on board and obeys it and follows me, he's like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. So he was a great teacher. He knew what he was talking about, and he told stories to illustrate, to show us. And he always made it really interesting. So interesting that he would be a great guest at an all-age service like this, wouldn't he? Because children wanted to listen to him, and middle-aged people wanted to listen to him, and the older people wanted to listen to him. Everybody wanted to crowd round and listen to Jesus because there was something about his authority, but also the way he spoke and the way he made it connect with them, which was great. Such a variety of stories. Some of your friends of all ages might think the Bible's boring. They might think studying the Bible's boring. And maybe sometimes people make studying the Bible boring. But Jesus doesn't want that, does he? Studying the Bible with Jesus was never boring. And we need to say that listening to God is really interesting. And when we speak God's word, we need to try and make it interesting too. Not to change it. Not to make it into entertainment and just fun by changing the words, but by using the words and making it serious, but making it easy to follow as well. And that's a lesson for everybody this morning. Lots of you, part of this church, teach all ages the Bible. And whatever age you're teaching, you don't need to be a joke teller, but you need to try and make things really easy to understand, and make things really easy to follow, and make things really interesting. Never worry that what you're saying is too simple. The chances are, it's nearly always too complicated. Jesus told entertaining stories, but he didn't tell them to entertain. He told them to help people realize the truth that they needed to follow him. And we want to be like Jesus in that way. And that takes us to our last thing. He was an amazing teacher because he knew what he was talking about. He was an amazing teacher because he was great in the way he taught. He made it really interesting. And the last thing is that he was an amazing teacher because he always told the truth. I suppose that follows, really, because he knew what he was talking about. But particularly to underline it a few times, that he always told the truth. We don't always tell the truth. Sometimes we tell things that we know are not true. And sometimes we just make mistakes. We teach something and then we realize that it was wrong. I was teaching something in one of the SGP classes recently, and I said something, and one of the students very helpfully corrected me completely, put me 200 years out in what I'd said, and it was wrong, so I made a mistake. I told an untruth. I didn't plan to tell an untruth, but I told an untruth. Jesus always told the truth. He never made a mistake in what he said. He never got his facts wrong. He never got muddled up about it. Now, I've got a little test for particularly my faithful little band of children down the front here, whether this is true or false. You can just shout out. You don't have to spend a long time over it. But I'm going to say some things, and you can tell me whether they're true or not. I am 49 years old. True or false? Pardon? False. Thank you. You obviously think I'm much younger. But in fact, it's true. True or false? You've got to be quicker. My brother's name's Stephen. True. Yeah, that is true. He is younger than me. False. Thank you very much. That's the answer I'll take. He is much older than me. Much, much older than me. I was born in a barn on a farm. I wish it were true, but it wasn't. I was born in East Surrey Hospital, the same ward that my children were born in, actually, as it happens. I have been to Hawaii. It's true. Okay, I have fainted on a plane. It's not quite true. I just lay down in the little corridor in the middle, having a moment. But I never lost consciousness. Okay, just for the adults, you'll never heard this name. I once called an aeroplane with Mel Smith, true or false? False. Who do you think I did catch a plane once with? Reese Jones. He was a grumpy. I mean, it was early in the morning, but he seemed particularly grumpy on this aeroplane. Well, I could be telling the truth. I could be planning to say something that's not true, or I could just be making a mistake when I say things. But when Jesus speaks, he always speaks the truth. He told people the truth about themselves, that the problem wasn't what was on the outside of them, and it wasn't really so much what they were doing. And it certainly wasn't what they were eating or what ceremonies they were performing. He told them the truth, and he said, your problem is what's on the inside. It's your hearts. It's your hearts that need dealing with, because from your hearts, from the inside, comes all the sin and all the wrong things that you do. He told them the truth about himself. He said, I have come from heaven, and I'm returning to heaven. I am the Son of God. I am equal with God. I am the great eternal God. He told them what he came to do. He said, I've come to give my life as a ransom, to pay the price for your sin. He told them what was going to happen, that he was going to be handed over to the Romans and they were going to kill him. And after 3 days, he was going to rise again and return to his Father. He always told them the truth about themselves, about himself. And as we thought about when we were doing that game, he told them the truth. And he showed them the truth. He said, this is how you should live. And he showed how to live. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. And he did it to prove what he was saying was absolutely, completely true. So Jesus was an amazing teacher. He had his own authority because he was God. He always made what he said interesting, even if you didn't quite understand it or agree with it. And he always told the truth about us, about himself, about the past, about the future. And so the really simple question that we've got to answer this morning is, will you have Jesus as your teacher? He was an amazing teacher, but you might just look at it and say, that's interesting. What a phenomenon. He was an amazing teacher. That's why people followed him, because he was an interesting bloke to listen to. Now, the question is not so much, was he an interesting teacher in the past? It's, will he be your teacher? Are you going to learn from Jesus? Are you going to listen to what he says about you? Are you going to listen to what he says about him, about himself? You see, lots of the people who listened to Jesus, those people in that story in Mark's Gospel that we read about, they kind of listened and they were kind of amazed, but in the end they didn't have Jesus as their teacher. Because the more they listened to him, the more they didn't like what he had to say, even though it was true, and even though it was interesting, and they didn't want him to be their teacher. That's why they got rid of him. That's why they crucified him. So this morning, whatever age you are you going to have Jesus as your teacher? Are you going to listen to Jesus? Jesus is explained in the New Testament. His life, his works, his words, the explanation of his work and what he was doing. Are you going to take an interest in the Bible, which leads us to Jesus and allows Jesus to be our teacher? Are you going to be enthusiastic and say, wow, Jesus, you are amazing. You're an amazing teacher. I read about you and I realize you know what you're talking about and you're always telling the truth and I want to follow you. Are you going to have Jesus as your teacher? Let's pray for God's help to do that. Lord God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was truly an amazing teacher. Nobody knew what he knew. Nobody could teach like he taught. And we thank you that he tells us the truth about ourselves, about himself, about the past, about his work, and about the future. And we pray this morning that each of us might trust him and say, I want Jesus to be my teacher. And to say in our hearts, Lord Jesus, teach me. Teach me what I need to do. Teach me how I need to live. Teach me to put my trust in you. Please help us in these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.